Okay, good afternoon to everyone. I want to bring up, by any chance, do you have this Beyond Today here with you?
Yeah.
This is the current issue.
Yeah.
I don't know. The new box, yeah. No, I do not.
Okay, there is an article that is actually related to my sermon today. It's called The Parable of the Talents. And I advise everybody to read this because it talks directly to you. But on page 19, in the last couple of paragraphs, is what I'm going to be referring to. And it says, those who understand that today's life is a preparation for the age to come. And then the next sentence is, it is to prepare them to reign with him on his throne in the age to come and help bring God's blessing to all mankind. So if y'all would just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. And in Romans 8:28 it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Now each and every one of us, the longer you're in God's church, you know, it becomes a year here and there, and then it becomes a decade, and then it becomes a multiple decade. You know, in my case, it just simply happens to be 50 years. Well, in that 50 years, there have been good events and bad events. And the latest one was I was infected with COVID, and I will be talking briefly about that. But it says, and we know that he causes everything to work to the good. And in this particular case, when I was infected with COVID, it wasn't about me. God was very much involved in this, and he was teaching me through it, which I will explain. And it says, whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. Now, I will tell you and I will be honest with you, COVID is something you really don't want to experience, because in City Hall there were five of us that were infected with this virus. And we ranged from mild to severe. One that actually brought the virus into City Hall was hospitalized for over a week and is still not back to work, but is improving. Now in my particular case, I was infected, actually I was exposed on May 27th, and it wasn't until June 16th that I tested negative. But I would be considered a mild case because I just started out, well, I had 3 days of fatigue, and then the fourth day I was feeling okay. And the fifth day was actually a Sabbath, and I almost came to church. I was considering it, but something in your conscience, in my conscience said, no, you are not. I went, okay. Because that following Monday is when I actually tested positive, which was June 7th, for COVID. That was kind of frightening. I mean, in the sense, realizing I'm glad that God's Spirit moved and says, no, you are not coming. Because I was contagious at that time. I would have infected other people. But this is all part of the way God works with us. If you're sensitive to him and the way that he leads you, he will keep you out of trouble. And in this case, all of you. And I'm very, very thankful for that. But in Job 10:12, it states, you gave me life and showed me your unfailing love. Now, I thought about this particular first part of this scripture in the sense that, what do you mean by you gave me life? Now, we do understand that he does give us our physical life. But it was the thought that came that, what about a spiritual life? Does he not give that? I'm sure you would agree with that. Yes, we have our physical life at the time of conception and born and so forth. But when does he grant a spiritual life? Well, that's at baptism, when you receive the Holy Spirit. But it's the second part of it where he says, keep thanking God. I'm sorry, my life was preserved by your care. Now, those of us that love and obey God, he protects our physical life. He keeps us from harm. I'm sure everyone sitting in here would have a tale about being on the highway with those lunatics and how he protected you from a possible serious accident, as well as other things, things at work, things just in your general life. But does he not preserve your spiritual life? Have you ever really given that any thought? He does protect it because you're of such value to him that as long as you're looking to him, even though when you're having troubles and you're beginning to doubt your faith, you're beginning to doubt, what am I doing? Is this really worth it? But as long as you are open to God, he will preserve that spiritual life of yours. Because sometimes it can be very, very difficult going through something that's not a good event, not a good experience. And I've had a few where, especially one, where I was considering literally leaving, turning my back on God and walking away from the church. But something happened with that, in the sense that God brought me to a place. And what was going on, everything, my entire experience with God, with his church, passed before my eyes. All the good things, everything about him, which led me to the decision, I can't go. I can't do it. I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay. No matter how difficult it's going to be to readjust back to it, to God and church and the routines. And that's where Vero Beach played that part. It was when you were still in, what was it, Fellsmere? That was a healing place for me because I made the decision from, I'm done with this whole thing, to, no, I am going to continue, come what may. And that preserving of life, that's where it began for me in that. And I'm still here today, and I have no plans of leaving. The only thing that's going to separate me is a physical death. But that's that preservation. If you hang on, no matter what you're going through, to God, he will bring you through it and he will preserve your life, both physical and spiritual. Now, this is something that brought everything into focus regarding this COVID. He says, then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Because I have to tell you, it was a Friday. This would be the fourth day after the fatigue. I still wasn't fully there. My daughter and her husband were leaving for St. Lucia on the following Sunday. So we decided, okay, we're going to go out and have lunch. Okay. I felt good enough to do that. Well, while at lunch, I received a phone call from City Hall, and that would have been, that would have been the fourth, I believe. But anyways, I received a phone call from City Hall informing me of the COVID infection, that there were five of us. Here I am sitting in a restaurant with my daughter her husband and my wife. Now let me tell you something. That put me into an absolute state of panic. Panic I've never known before. But fortunately, the fan was blowing towards me, so they were downwind from me. Now, after lunch, of course, you know, going back to my daughter's house, when I hugged her goodbye, you know what I did? I held my breath. I held it. Hugged her real quick and got away from her. But let me tell you what happened, what was transpiring during that week they were in St. Lucia, because they would be coming back the following Sunday. I learned something about prayer and prayer. Now the first prayer is something we kind of do routinely. You know, it's that second prayer I was talking about was one that was totally not focused on me. It was focused on my daughter and her husband, because they were in St. Lucia. You have to be retested before you can come back to the States. My prayer was desperate. And it had absolutely nothing to do with me. Maybe one other time I kind of been in that state of mind when you're just helpless. But you're crying out in such a strong way. And I know some of you have experienced that I'm in a terrible situation here. And that's where this scripture just stands out to me, because he says, then call on me when you are in trouble. Believe me, I was in trouble. I was sweating bullets that my daughter and her husband would come back. And it says, I will rescue you. And you will give me glory. He rescued me. This is a real life event. That as that week went on, of course, Friday came, because they would be leaving on Sunday. Didn't hear anything back. Saturday came, didn't hear anything back. Then Sunday came, their departure. Got the text that they were on the plane headed for Miami. Let me tell you something. You don't have a clue of what that relief was. The lightness, it was God, period. When he says right there, when you are in trouble, I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. I lived that. And I'm sure some of you in your life has also, but the experience of that, being put in a position where prayer is so desperate, and crying out to God, and he rescues you. He can only give that glory into one place, and that goes to God, period. But the benefit of that is what? What do you think the benefit of that would be? It's very simple. The strengthening of your faith. And believe me, it's a strength. Because of the way that whole thing played out. Yes, it did strengthen my faith. But it was an experience. It's something that God was showing me. Something he was adding to my life. And that's what I was talking about when I came to the good news there, that it's a preparation. That these things that take in our life, is he's developing us. We will have a job to do when his son returns. But you got to be trained. You got to be trained for it. So you know when it comes time for you to do that job, when Christ returns, you're prepared. You've had the experiences in your life to do whatever it is that God's going to give you to do. So the events may be bad and they may be good. And then it says, I praise you, Lord, for answering my prayers. Now, we've all have had those moments where we prayed, they weren't answered. And but you don't lose your faith over that. And then there's times that we prayed and they have been answered. Sometimes right away, sometimes a little later in time. In this particular case with my daughter and her husband being out of the country, it was 1 week. 1 week every day I was crying out to God. He answered the prayer. But it was when that text came Sunday that we're on the plane headed to Miami. The joy, the peace, the glorifying and thanking God was all there because he heard and he brought them home. That was one of the greatest experiences I've had in my entire life with God. It says, For you bless the godly, O Lord, you surround them with your shield of love. Well, we understand that when it comes to God's people, he does protect us with his love. Many times we experience it, but we do understand that. God is love, and his protection is love. And he does protect us, and he does keep us from things that aren't good for us. In Philippians, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's what this was talking about. Those who understand that today's life is a preparation for the age to come. It is to prepare them to reign with him on his throne in the age to come and help bring God's blessing to all mankind. Brethren, that's what this is all about, is what we are becoming. And the day that Jesus Christ returns, all this preparation that we're going through now in this life will come into play when Christ returns and we're changed and we're ruling with him. That's what all this is about. But God will take moments in your life, and you can bet on it, where you're going to go through something, he's going to prevail, and he's going to strengthen your faith because he wants you there. He's putting a lot of time into you, an investment to have you there and prepared to do what he has to do for you. So it's not always good. It's not always fun with some of these things, but you have to understand it's part of what we're becoming. In John, it says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Everybody sitting in this room knows God, don't you? Because you have spent time with him. You have given yourself to him. And you understand and know that you are his sons and daughters. But when you look at the world, do they know? No. Do they really care? No. And you look on what's going on in our society today that's becoming more anti-religious, anti-Christian, just anti-God. I was watching the news and there it was on some graffiti thing. God is dead. We're back to that. And that was, a few decades ago when that was going on? But this nation is on a fast track to just going totally anti-God. But God knows his children. He knows who they are. And his children knows who he is. And we need to be ready for that day he returns his son. It says, dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that when we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. Now, I found this to be a little interesting because I kind of thought for a minute when I was thinking about this. I said, you know, I said, there is a description of Christ in the book of Revelation. Now, it kind of gives us a peek of what he looks like, because we will be as he is. We ourselves will also look the same in our glorified body. And it says, there with the lampstand was someone who seemed to be the Son of Man. He was wearing a robe that reached down to his feet, and a gold cloth was wrapped around his chest. It says, his head and his hair were white as wool, such as I have, or snow, and his eyes looked like flames of fire. His feet were glowing like bronze being heated in a furnace, and his voice sounded like the roar of a waterfall. So that kind of gives you an idea of what Christ looks like today. And when you are resurrected into your new spiritual body, your glorious body, this may very well how you will look as well. I know I'm just kind of putting something out there, but you have to ask yourself a question. Why would John write this of how he saw Christ? It's for our benefit. This is what he looks like today. And that is also our future. So it's just something to kind of just think about. And then this is where I'm actually going to be closing. It says, blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. That's our future. That's a future that we have chosen. But we also have to go through a period of training. Living undesirable events, such as COVID, and living good events. Because this is what we're being prepared for, the first resurrection. You know, there's people I talk to out there about the resurrection, and they don't even recognize it. I said, well, what do you mean? How can you not recognize it? It's written about the first resurrection, the great white throne judgment. What, you know, what is it that you're not understanding? Well, they simply can't grasp it. They can't make that connection. Whereas God's children, God's sons and daughters, they can. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. Because of what you're being trained for. He's given you that knowledge. That's how he preserves your spiritual life. Because of the knowledge that you have. And the closer you get to God, the greater and deeper the knowledge will become. And as a result of that, a strengthening of your faith to a point where it's strong. That you will be there, and you determine within yourself that you will be there when Christ returns, come what may. And I will be honest with you, over the 50 years, it's been this last year where the strengthening of my faith has taken place because of certain things. But I have to tell you, the COVID thing focused on my daughter and her husband. I can't put it into words of what that meant to me, because I was in sheer panic. If my daughter and husband tested positive in St. Lucia, they would have been retained there. That would have been very, very difficult for me, because I brought the disease to them. That's hard for a father, especially with older men, because we have a tendency to be a little emotional. And it would have struck me emotional. So, my whole thing today is, no matter what takes place in your life, both good or bad, always give that glory to God, because now you know and understand when Christ returns, your experience will come into play. And God's going to have you in a place where you're going to bring tremendous blessings to what's left of mankind at that time and the nations. So brethren, I would encourage you in all things, give the praise to God, every bit of it, because He is our Father and He has a job for us to do. So be there.